The church throughout antiquity has set aside at least one Sunday a year to focus on the Scripture's teaching of God the Holy Spirit. And it is most appropriate today, 50 days after Easter Sunday. Because almost 2,000 years ago, when Christ was raised from the dead, he made certain appearances, his disciples and believers, throughout the next 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven. That was the Thursday before last. And then 10 days later, on a festival in which all Jews throughout various regions would gather in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, or otherwise known as the Feast of Weeks. This was a harvest feast that was celebrated 7 weeks and one day, or 50 days, after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover. It was at this event, recorded in our second reading this day from Acts chapter 2, where those from various nations were gathered together, hearing Peter and the other apostles preach in their own native languages, because the apostles were given a special gift to speak the gospel of Christ in various languages. It's for this reason that the ancient church has continued to reserve today, the day of Pentecost, as a remembrance of that great day, and to learn from Jesus who the Holy Spirit is. That is why we heard in our gospel lesson for today from John 15 and 16, because those are the sections of Scripture that Jesus teaches us about the Holy Spirit more than anywhere else. Before we get to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, we should first say a word or two about who the Holy Spirit is not. First, we should say that the Holy Spirit is a him and not an it. That's making the point that the Holy Spirit is not a force or just some power of God out there, as if there's God the Father and the Son, and then there's the force of God, as if someone gets into the Christmas spirit or has team spirit. That's not what we mean by this at all. We use masculine pronouns and referring to the Holy Spirit, not because the Holy Spirit has a sex, like male or female, but to emphasize that he is a person of the Godhead. That by himself, he is just as much God as the Father or the Son. And yet there are not three gods, there is one God. But more on that next week for Trinity Sunday. Our Old English used to refer to him as the Holy Ghost, and that's fine too. There is essentially nothing different between spirit and ghost. They're both used to denote a immaterial being, and the Old English made no difference between those two words. As it happened, I think that we became a little afraid that Holy Ghost would be associated with like a spook or a goblin or this kind of a ghost. And so the language became more associated with Holy Spirit. But either one is correct. Now, when Jesus sets out to teach us about the Holy Spirit, he first tells us this. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, then the Helper will not come. We sort of talked about this with the Ascension, that we sometimes think it would be great if the resurrected Lord would locate himself here on earth in his local presence and the way he was walking around 2,000 years ago. That way we could walk up to Jesus and just ask him any question we would ever want to ask him. Like, Jesus, why did you create mosquitoes? Jesus isn't interested in answering all your questions. He's interested in forgiving your sins and saving you from eternal destruction. Imagine Jesus having to make it to every country of the world within every generation's lifetime in order for anyone to be saved. Imagine the mobs of people that would constantly be around him. The saving work to bring faith to darkened hearts is granted to the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And that is why Jesus says, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." The word helper is sometimes translated advocate. It literally means one who comes alongside of. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us to save us from utter destruction. What we learn from Jesus about the Holy Spirit is entirely summarized in chapter 14 of our gospel lesson for today. Jesus says this, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." If there's one thing to remember about the Holy Spirit, that's it. Remember that the Holy Spirit is about the business of glorifying Jesus. The Holy Spirit is working whenever someone is rightly pointing to Jesus. That the Holy Spirit is never pointing to himself. He's like that worker who likes to be in the background and just do the work, never getting the spotlight. The worst thing you can do for a person like that is to throw a big banquet and give him a plaque or a trophy and recognize him for his work. He doesn't want that. He's a background kind of a guy. Well, the Holy Spirit is working in a way to never draw attention to himself, but giving all attention, all the glory to Jesus and his work. The Holy Spirit is constantly working to reveal this not so little secret of God that the world so desperately needs to know. This is what Jesus meant when he said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And that secret is this, that although God should rightly be disgusted and wrathful towards sinners who continually break his law, because of the work of Jesus, sinners are now righteous before God and that he delights in them. That's it. That's the big secret that the Holy Spirit is working in the background to reveal to the entire world. And what's more is that Jesus tells us how the Holy Spirit does this great work. He says, "When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." And then Jesus explains each of those. Let's take them one at a time. The first one, he says, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is convict the world concerning sin. The Holy Spirit is at work in each and every one to reveal to them their moral transgression. Now, I know I just got done saying that the Holy Spirit is about revealing the mystery that God and sinners are now at peace. But before anyone can know the joy of freedom, they must first know the truth that they are bound to sin. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is convict the world concerning sin. But more than that, it says, because they do not believe in me. And that is to say that the source of our sin, even for Christians, according to their sinful flesh, the source of their sin is unbelief. That if we truly and perfectly believed in Christ, then we would not have covetous thoughts. We would not gossip about our neighbors. We would not worry whether or not God will provide for us when times get tough. It's a reminder that our sin isn't just that we're pretty good people with some flaws, but that our sin is our flesh, which is anti-God. And it's a reminder that our sinful flesh is no better than the world, which does not yet know God. Jesus continues and says the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no longer. It's an odd way of saying that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning righteousness. But that is exactly how it is. Because of the work of Jesus, our sin, which separates us from God, is no longer there. The fact of the matter is that we are righteous. And to be righteous means that there is nothing of you which God sees that doesn't meet his expectations. That when God sees you, he sees one who has never even had a singular sinful thought your entire life. And how can this be? Not by your work, but by the work of Jesus. And that thought is so unfathomable. It is so alien to ourselves that we can't believe it apart from the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit has to come along and convict us of thinking otherwise. That because of Jesus, you are perfectly righteous and holy. And that God knows nothing of your sin because it's cleansed in the blood of Jesus. And finally, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, usually when we think of the ruler of this world, we think of God. But that's not what Jesus means here. Here, when Jesus talks about the ruler of the world, he's talking about the devil. The devil is the ruler of this world because he's not permitted to be the ruler of the world to come. And why? Because he's been judged. Now, this is difficult for a lot of people to grasp because we think of the devil's defeat as something that will happen, something in the future, something that at some point when Christ returns, then the devil will be defeated. But the Bible talks about the devil as someone who has been judged already, something that has taken place already, and that is in Christ the crucified. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So when you think about it, it really makes sense. That ultimately, what would the devil want you to do? The devil would want you to be separated from God. And how can he do that? Can he accuse you of sin? No, they've been forgiven. Can he point out the fact that you're a fallen creature? No, you have been redeemed by God. So you see, the cross of Christ undoes everything the devil wants to do to you. So long as you know these truths, the devil is powerless against you. His only hope is to get you to doubt these truths. That is why the Holy Spirit is about the business of convicting the world of the truth that the devil has been judged already. So it all comes back to that verse 14 where we started. He will glorify me. In everything that the Holy Spirit does, he is always and only pointing to Jesus to reveal to you the mystery that sinners are now reconciled to God. That is why our catechism says that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified me in the true faith. Now, I want you to meditate on those words for just a moment. How has the Holy Spirit made you to believe in Jesus? How has the Holy Spirit sanctified you? How has the Holy Spirit kept you in the one true faith. And it says, by calling you by the gospel. That is, by teaching you about Jesus. That he has enlightened you with his gifts. And what are those gifts? They are found here. They are the gift of baptism, the gift of the Lord's Supper, the gift of absolution, the preaching of Jesus, the Word of God. These are the gifts the Holy Spirit uses to call you to faith. You see, we often think the Holy Spirit's work is in causing these great conspiracies that are miraculous, or that we would witness someone being raised from the dead, or that the Holy Spirit would come upon us and do incredible things. But the normal ways that the Holy Spirit works is in a Sunday school classroom where a teacher is telling children about Jesus, or a sinful pastor who is pouring water and word upon an infant's head, or by bread and wine placed upon your lips, or by a friend announcing to you that your sins are forgiven, or that the text of the Bible, when you read it at home, is always pointing to Jesus and him crucified. Where Christ is being preached, that is where the Holy Spirit is at work to call, gather, enlighten you with his gifts, however unimpressive those gifts might be. In fact, Luther went so far to say this in the Large Catechism. See what you think of this. He said, where Christ is not preached, then the Holy Spirit is not calling, gathering, enlightening with his gifts. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus, and someone is not preaching about Jesus, then how can the Holy Spirit be there creating faith and forgiving sins? It is always and only about Jesus, and that salvation in his name is found only in him. Dear saints of God, it might not be something that you feel. It might not even be something that is easy to believe. But the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. What did Peter say in our second reading? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is for you and your children and all who are far off. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at work. If you've been baptized, the Holy Spirit is at work. If you come to church to hear about how your sins demand payment, and that payment is found in Christ, then the Holy Spirit is at work. And in just a minute, when you come to this rail and you receive into your mouth the very body and blood of Christ, and you believe that what you're receiving is the very forgiveness of sins, then thanks be to God, because the Holy Spirit is doing his work. And because the Holy Spirit is doing his work, you have been called, gathered into a place, enlightened by the truth, and sanctified for God himself. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.